Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself, grab yourself a comfortable squishy pillow, perhaps a cocktail, perhaps a tea, something soothing for the throat, something cold and refreshing. Listen and enjoy. This is Marco Timpano. You're listening to the Insomnia Project. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Today is going to be a solo episode, and I'm using a mic I don't use that I love. And this episode is going to be about it being okay. I am exhausted, and a lot of you, especially this time of year, or people tuning in, are exhausted. And that's okay. It's okay to be exhausted. It's okay to feel like I just need to lie here and let some just peace and relaxation come to me, because that's just where you find yourself. That's certainly where I am. I don't like to blather too much about these kind of things, but Amanda too is exhausted, and she was just doing some work. And I said, I will record the podcast episode. I think it's time for me to do a solo episode. And so here it is. It's funny, you know, a lot of people tune in because they want a podcast that just sort of takes them away and brings them somewhere else. And I'm hoping to do that here today for you all. We had quite a week. We had to drive a great distance for work, and we got to listening to this audiobook. And it is a really long audiobook, and I like to listen to, or we like to listen, I should say, to biographies. And this one here is Harvey Fierstein's biography. I wish I could remember the name of it. Let me just look it up here in case you hear the clacks of the keyboard. I Was Better Last Night by Harvey Fierstein, and it is wonderful, and he is such an entertaining listen, that's for sure. So if you get a chance to listen to his audiobook or read the book itself, or if you're not sure what to get someone for Christmas or the holidays and they like biographies, well, we recommend this one. It certainly kept us company on the drive, and we have more drives ahead of us next month as well. So we'll continue to listen because it's about 11 hours long. And, you know, it feels like three audiobooks, not just one, but in terms of length, how long the actual audiobook is. But we delight in listening to audiobooks. I'm wondering, what are some of the things you do when you're just completely exhausted and you need to just sort of let your mind drift elsewhere? I know for a lot of listeners, dear listeners, it is listening to this particular podcast. So thank you for that. One of the things I recently discovered that really sort of takes me away, so to speak, is an Instagram account, and it's called, let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. Vegas Starfish. That's Vegas, like as in Las Vegas. Vegas Starfish. I'm giving them a plug, but on Instagram, what I love about it is they give you some real insider tips about things to do in Las Vegas. And they're little short Instagram videos, shorts. I don't know what you call a little video, I guess. It's not a movie, but a little video on Instagram, but I'm going to call it a video, and you'll get where I'm going. But this person, Vegas Starfish, takes you into places and you get to see these fun restaurants in Las Vegas or the hotels that aren't so great anymore, and they give you an insider glimpse of them, or where you get, you know, speakeasies you wouldn't necessarily know about in Las Vegas. And even though I have no immediate plans to go to Las Vegas, it just vicariously takes me there. And I love to travel, and sometimes we just can't be traveling. And so I've found this little gem that takes me to a place, and it allows me to just sort of feel like I'm a part of it, and I get to think of, would I go there or wouldn't I go there? I was once on a treadmill in a gym, and I think it was in a hotel. It must have been a hotel, because where else would it be? I mean, we have one, but it's not as fancy as the one I'm about to describe. And you could pick a path that you could run on that had a video screen of you like running in that forest or on that bridge and through those streets. And it was like you were, you know, on the move and seeing these exciting sort of places, and you could pick them. There was a map of the world, and it had little indicators or pins that showed you where you could run that day. And it was actually very, very useful, because it really made me want to go on the treadmill. Now, we have a very basic treadmill, one that you can fold and tuck under your couch or sofa. But of course, our sofa, you can't, it doesn't make the clearance. I thought it would make the clearance, but it's just a tiny bit too big, or too tall, I should say, to fit under. So it can't fit under the sofa that we bought it for. But we found a spot where it's somewhat inconspicuous, and Amanda likes to put it on a show called House Hunters International, where they go to different international cities and people scope out homes in that city, and she'll run to that. And much like that treadmill that I had seen in that hotel, it gives you the impression that you're somewhere else. And so, you know, sometimes just taking a moment to drift to another place in the world is so great. But it's also great to know that, you know, I know I'm exhausted today, but I know that a lot of people are exhausted, and a lot of the listeners are exhausted. And it's like, you're not alone. I'm certainly not alone. And so I said to myself, what I'll do is I will go to the studio, put my awesome mic that I rarely get to use, and I'll just record an episode with my awesome mic and enjoy my awesome mic. And the reason it's awesome, it's this Shure M7 mic that I love. And I love it because I had admired this microphone for a great deal of time. And a friend of mine got it as a gift, I think for the holidays or for her birthday. That's my friend Linda Mora, who has Getting Lit with Linda is the podcast she does. And she swore by this mic, and she really loved it. And I know it's the microphone that a lot of podcasters get to use. And so I saved my money. I was talking with my good friend Nima, who also has a great podcast called My Gastric Sleeve, and he has one coming in the new year that I'll talk to him about as we get closer, or as he gets closer, I should say, to launching. So exciting when a friend has a project that you're excited about. Anyways, I was speaking with Nima, and he was like, oh, that's a brilliant mic. He actually didn't say brilliant because he's not British, but he said, that's a cool mic, and one that I know that he also was admiring. And I remember I was debating, and I would be talking with him, and you know, finally I sort of bit the bullet and I went and I got this microphone and I had a few gift cards. So it's always nice to use gift cards towards a purchase of something that you really, really want. And so, yeah, it's this wonderful mic. I have it on a mic stand and it also picks up every sound. So I have to be careful how close I am to the mic. And yeah, and I'm really enjoying it. Another thing about me that I don't know if I've ever shared this with folks, but I love cue cards. I love using cue cards as a tool when I'm trying to organize thoughts. I'll write words on cue cards and then I'll sort of put them in an order that makes sense to me, or I'll write notes on cue cards, or I'll use them when I'm doing a presentation, of course, or if I have a Zoom call, I'll use cue cards, and with a little bit of painter's tape, I'll tape it right close to the camera. So when I'm looking at the cue card where I've jotted down some facts or thoughts that I want to convey in that Zoom meeting, it looks like I'm looking into the camera, but really I'm looking at the cue card, or using the cue card as my guide and, you know, using those points. And most of the time people cannot tell, or to my knowledge, people have not been able to say, oh, I can tell you're reading off a cue card. And I learned this sort of tip years ago when I used to live with a friend of mine who was a singer. And when she had a concert that she was doing, or she was playing at a club, she would write some of the lyrics on her index finger, and it would kind of curl around to the little padding between the index finger and the thumb. And she'd write some of the lyrics of her song on that index finger on her right hand. So I would ask her, why do you have lyrics? Or why do you have all that writing on your hand? And she said, it's the first song that I sing, and I write the first few lyrics on my hand because if I get nervous, it's there for me, and I'm holding the microphone, and so I could be looking at my hand, and no one would know that because it just looks like I'm looking into the microphone, which is something singers will often do. And I said, wow, where did you get that idea from? And she's like, singers do it all the time. And in particular, if they have a, you know, dance number that they have to sing with, or if there's a song that they have some lyrics that they find difficult to remember, they'll put it somewhere where they can see it and the audience doesn't, but it looks like they're singing to the audience. And I always thought that was such a interesting thing that I incorporated into what I do when I'm on a Zoom meeting. And if it's useful to you, by all means, grab a cue card, some painter's tape, and tape it so that it's near the camera on your computer. And I'll just take this moment to grab my pen and a cue card to write a note on the cue card. I have it right here. This one happens to be a yellow cue card. And I wrote the timing. This is a cue card where on the face of it, I wrote the time that the Zoom call I had was going to be, and when there was a break, and I had that near me so I knew what time it went until the meeting and when we had a break so I could make sure that I was on schedule with it. And the reason I grab a cue card is sometimes I'll write down, so for example, I'm going to write down Vegas Starfish on this so that I don't forget to include it in the show notes in case anyone wants to see that Instagram account. And I'm using this pen that I love. I have to say, I love a Pentel pen. The brand Pentel really is such a great brand. The ink flows so nicely from this Pentel pen. This is an energy gel pen. 1.0 is the nib, I guess you call it, the tip of the pen. The size is 1.0, so I think that's the size of the ink when it comes out. Not super fine, but It has a little bit of bulk to it without being, you know, a marker. It's still pen, but it flows so nicely that I need to get myself some of these Pentel Energy Pens BL110, I guess is the serial number or the model number for this particular pen that I'm enjoying using. And I love a Pentel pen, and I don't know if I've talked about this, but Pentel makes this most awesome pen that they stopped making, and it had a white nib to it, like a very interesting white fine tip end to it. And it almost looked like the Pope's hat or a bishop's hat is what it reminded me of, the tip. So it wasn't a thin metal tip, but rather this white sort of globular tip. And I loved this pen. I used to use it when I was traveling to write postcards back in the day. And it would write so fine, but the ink would come out so lovely that I could fit so much on a postcard without it smudging. And it was the perfect pen. But with all, you know, perfect things, they have a time. And I couldn't find that pen anymore. I could only find it in France, or I think that's where I discovered it. I shouldn't say I could only find it in France like I was in France all the time, but rather I had found it in France and I had bought one and used it to write postcards, loved it so much that I picked up 5 or 6 of them and I coveted using that Pentel pen. And they were green, almost like the green of a doctor's smock. You know that green that doctors, when you see them on television and they're in the operating room or when they're dealing with a patient, they have that green color. It was kind of that green color, and it had a little color added to the part of the pen, the cap, that would indicate the color of the ink. So it was blue, red, or black, and I think I had all of them in my collection of them, and I coveted using them because I used to love writing with them, but I knew that the ink would eventually run out and I couldn't find these pens anywhere. And I looked high and I looked low and they were not to be found, until one day when I happened to be, and this just sounds like me dropping names of places that I've been to, but this is not the case. This is just over many years later is how I should actually phrase it. But many years later, I was in Tokyo for work, and I happened to be at a random stationery section of a Tokyo mall. And what do I see there? But those pens, those Pentel pens that I had maybe 12 years ago, I had found in France. And so, of course, I scooped up more than a handful. And I remember they weren't inexpensive because I thought to myself, wow, I am spending a great deal for pens right now. But when you find the perfect pen and you know you can't find it anywhere, you just pick it up as many as you can. And that's what I did. And I had those pens once again for 5 to 6 years. Once again, just loving them. I came to discover that they were in Japan because that was the only country that was still making that style of Pentel pen. Now, cut to another, I want to say 10 years later where we are today, if not more. I want to say actually more than 10 years, but let's just say 10 for ease sake. And I have not seen those pens. I've searched online for them. I don't know why Pentel doesn't make those pens anymore. If anybody knows the name of those pens or where to find them, please let me know, because I'll scoop up another handful or more. But for now, I'm going to rely on Pentel Energy Gel pens. Now, along with pens, I need to talk about paper. And since I was talking about my find in France with a Pentel pen many, many years ago, I also want to mention that I discovered a paper, a French paper, that they make notebooks out of, cahiers out of, various styles of notebooks. And if you haven't ever written on this paper or discovered this particular paper, I strongly recommend you keep a keen eye out for it the next time you're in a stationery store. And I'll always judge a stationery store if they have this paper product and these paper, these books, these, they have a variety of books. If they have Claire Fontaine, which is the name of the brand, in their stores. And if you've ever written on Claire Fontaine paper, it has what they call a wonderful tooth to it. And I'm sure I've talked about this in previous episodes, but the paper is so great that I really don't mind mentioning it again. It has the most wonderful, if you're the type of person, which I am, that presses very firmly on the page, the bounce back that the paper has really helps to make the writing on the paper feel great on your hand. And the impression that the pen makes when writing on that type of paper is simply divine. So if that's something that's important to you, as it is to me, seek out Claire Fontaine. And if you know someone who's really into writing or journaling or just has a love of stationery, Claire Fontaine is the most wonderful gift you can send their way. And I purchased one recently for a friend of mine who had never seen that paper before, never felt that paper before. And when they put their pen to that page, they said to me, "It's like writing on a surface I've never written on before." So that's quite a send up for that particular paper, I think. Yeah, so cue cards, pens, paper. These are some things that I find sheer delightment in. And, if I'm doodling on a page, which I often do when I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed or exhausted, it can take my mind away as well. So that's something else I do. I currently have an idea for a book that I want to write. And so I've been sort of formulating in my head what cue cards I want to use to help organize my thoughts. So I think I'll work on that this December and in the new year. And we'll see if I get a chance to actually publish another book. And that's my intention, to use cue cards to do that. But I'm not even going to ponder too much on that, because that in itself feels like a lot to consider on a day like today. I will say this. So as some of you may know, we have a scooter, a Vespa, that we use during the warm months because we love to ride it and because it saves us a great deal of money with regards to the amount of gas it takes to power that moped versus what we would pay if we took a car or even transit. And it helps you zip by the city and see it in a different light. Anyone who has a moped or a Vespa or the equivalent, I'm sure will agree with me. But because we live in Canada and because it's November, our Vespa had to be brought into a garage because it's just too cold right now to do so. And I had waited a week too long. I should have brought it in to the place where we take it a week ago when it was still sunny and warm. But I planned today because I had seen on my weather app that it was going to be warmer. And lo and behold, when I hopped on it, and it's actually not far from my home where we take it, it wasn't that cold. Even though there's a bit of snow on the ground from last week, it was fine and it was delightful. And I got to take the last spin of the season. I'll see it back in April. And this also means I need to get snow tires put on my car. And so that's going to happen as well. And that's the change of the season, really. And I look forward to it. I hope you'll look forward to the holiday episodes, which are coming up the episode after next. Next week will be our last episode of the season. This season actually ran longer than our usual seasons have been running, because I usually do 26 episodes. But we had a sponsoring the show in Canada, and I wanted to ensure that there were enough episodes for them because they had sponsored mid-season. So anyone who lives in, actually it was only airing in Ontario, you would have heard some of those ads. That said, thanks to that sponsor, I was able to continue the season longer. And for anyone who doesn't enjoy listening to any of the ads that are on this podcast, there's always the option to sign up for the ad-free episodes, or make it so that you pay, I think, $3 a month to get ad-free episodes. And if you just go to our show notes at the very end, you'll notice the link where to do that. I want to thank everyone who's been supportive of the show, and for all the emails that we've received throughout this season. They've really been quite lovely, I have to say. Do you have something that you do when you're just exhausted, or where you just need to lie back and not worry about anything? I'm just curious to know what you do. Do you have a favorite pen or a favorite paper to write on? I know a lot of people love the moleskin books, or cahiers, as they say in French, but they're not my favorite. Like I said, Claire Fontaine beats it every single time, in my opinion. I would love to know if you've had a chance to use or try a Claire Fontaine book. If you have, I'd love to know what you think of it. And that brings us to the end of this particular episode. Thank you for listening. I'm so grateful that I came down to do this so that it would be up and ready tomorrow morning when the episode airs, and available for you whenever you listen to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I sincerely hope you were able to listen and sleep.